Somewhere in the dark and nasty regions where nobody goes, stands an ancient castle. Deep within this dank and uninviting place lives...
From FC United of Manchester Radio, Swampy.
Hello.
Overworked servant of the thing upstairs.
Feed me.
But that's nothing compared to the horrors that lurk beneath the trapdoor. For there is always something down there, in the dark, waiting to come out.
Don't you open that trap door?
You're a fool if you dare.
Stay away from that trap door.
'Cause there's something down there.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Red Rebel Radio. I am here in a gloomy, overcast Manchester, and over there in the glorious European Union, in Belgium, it's Swampy. Hello, Swampy, how are they?
Bonjour, monsieur, bonjour. Bonjour, mademoiselle, bonjour, madame, bonjour, bonjour. Bonjour.
Exciting weekend ahead for FC United. Just football more than anything. Leamington on Saturday, Spennymoor on Monday, and we'll have some form of preview for those matches this weekend. But Swampy, how's your week been before that?
It's been okay. It's been a few days down in old London Village. Had a long four and a half days, which I caught a game of football. I went to watch Hazen Yedding versus Egham Town in the local derby. And a football ground, which is really interesting because it's just like being at the old Northwich Victoria's ground. They've got a huge stand that holds 1,200, beautiful red seats. To the left-hand side, there's what looks like an old chemical works. And there's a canal at the side of it as well. And it was very reminiscent of being at Northwich Vicks, they won by 4-0 as well, so it was a really entertaining afternoon of football. But a community football club who have built a ground, and it's all been done without any form of grants. And there's a fact for you here that I'm sure Berkey will use going forward, because I know he listens to the show week in, week out, that their changing rooms are bigger than Wembley's.
Do you mean it's a car park? That's not a changing room, Swampy.
No. They're new changing rooms. They're yet to be used yet, because the ground itself, even though the big stand has been built and it's 1,200 seats, they haven't actually had it rubber stamped out by the council yet, so they can't use all 1,200 seats. And I think it's 8,000 square foot of hospitality room upstairs, and that's just at the moment empty. So there's a huge amount of money required and a huge amount of work needs to be done. But I had a guided tour around, because Tim Fuel, who is the host of the non-league show, is involved in the football club. And again, it shows dedication, doesn't it, when you consider he lives in and around the New Forest, and yet drives all the way up to just outside Uxbridge 2 or 3 times a week in order to help and facilitate working with his football club. And that is the passion of non-league football. But a lot of work should be done there. But yeah, the actual changing rooms, once they are finished, completely finished, will be larger than the changing rooms at Wembley.
Okie dokie. It was Hayes and Yedding against Yedding and Hayes, was it? Something. It was the local derby.
Yes, Ben, you try to use that joke live in commentary last Saturday. What was interesting.
No, wait, the match was so good, you decided to listen to Hyde against Basford. Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I mean, by all accounts, if everyone listens to this show, you let her believe it was Hyde versus South Shields, Ben. And I said,
wrong.
No, it's Basford. And you went, no, it's South Shields. It should be a
wrong.
Really good game. So
I was wrong.
I took you at your word. However, the reason why I stood behind the goal, I decided not to stand or sit in the big stand. I thought I'd have a walk around the ground, you know, and stand there. And I was listening to the commentary of Berkey and Luke and yourself, and it sounded like a great game as well. I listened to the interviews afterwards with both sets of managers and players. It was really good. But a bloke came up to me. I went, "Excuse me, mate, can you tell me how Blythe Sporting's getting on today?"
Why? Oh, he knew who you were, did it? Oh, that's ominous.
Yeah, Blood Spartans, yeah, they're getting on. And then he went, hey, and then he asked me about four different, what the score lines were in four different Northern Premier Division games. And he was a Southerner.
Ah.
I didn't even go over and say, excuse me, mate, can you tell me the reasons why you... I mean, I just thought it was good enough someone to ask what the Blythe score was initially, of the games.
Were you looking traditionally Northern? Is that why he came over to you? Did you have a dirty face and a dog next to you? Is that what it was?
A dirty face and a dog next to me, Ben. I think... No. Is that how you roll? I mean, is that how your perception of Northerners are? Dirty faces and dogs?
Well, whippets in... There are people who believe that, by the way, down south. It's true.
There are, yeah. This guy, no, I wasn't dressed like that. Let me think, what was the dress I had?
You were dressed like Nigel Farage. We all know what you were wearing.
I had my FC United polo shirt on, and I had my jeans and a pair of All-Stars.
You were going to London. Why weren't you wearing tweed?
It was quite, I don't know if you noticed, Ben, it's been quite warm.
No,
and
excuse.
Tweed is not necessarily the clothing of choice at this moment in time. But I did get asked on the Friday, because we're having a meal in a place called the German Gymnasium. Very, very posh, very, very nice. And this guy said to me, he said, you live in Brussels, do you work in the European Union? I went, no. And he said, what do you think of Farage? I said, well, next time I see him, it'll be a dimpled pint pot smashed around his bonds.
Oh, my goodness.
And which they all laughed, which I thought, oh, that was quite nice. That was quite nice. Hmm. You know, I was expecting, you know, a bit of a, you can't say that about our man Farage, because they were quite posh, these guys. And they were very sexist, because they assumed straight away that I was the income earner. And Estelle was my sister or daughter. Very, 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 you know, all these things. Always making a joke about everything. So to make sure that... we didn't perpetuate their stereotypical belief that Estelle was indeed just my other half and I was the breadwinner. I made Estelle pay.
Yes. Anyway, so...
That shut them up. Bloody hell, they said.
Here on FC Radio, we like to think of ourselves as championing non-league football. You're there flying the flag for the North at Hayes and Yedding against Yedding and Hayes. The joke works. I don't care. At the same time,
okay.
At the same time, we're commentating Hyde United against Bakersfield, cracking game. And then on Tuesday night, we did Stalybridge Celtic against Marien, where Roy Sewell reappeared at Stalybridge Celtic. And
he reappeared.
But it was like that because loads of people were coming up to him, and it was like some kind of celebrity, and I didn't half feel really inferior.
Well, that's how I feel most weeks when I'm conversating with you, Ben. You know, and James Quinn. I mean, James Quinn, the man of more photographs taken at non-league rounds than any other person in Britain.
There's more pictures of James Quinn than non-league dogs.
I think you're right there. In fact, I reckon that. There'd be a statistic at some stage. There was 27 people, 3 dogs, and 4 James Quinn photographs. That's a true fact. That was at West Didsbury and Chorlton. There was a billboard of James Quinn's photographs.
That was to make the Trafford branch feel at home.
Oh, of course it was.
Anyway, dearie.
But yeah, 3-2, Ben, as well. Good game.
It was a great game. And I'll tell you what, everyone, if you can find the goal, it will be on the internet somewhere. Liam Tong's goal, blimey. It was from about 50 yards out on the touchline, and he belted it. And he did mean it. It wasn't a cross. Straight into the top corner. Sensational. Anyway, I'll tell you who else was good on that night. Tom Brown was excellent. As well,
he scored 2, didn't he?
He did, and they were great goals. Matty Wolferton was Matty Wolferton, as you'd expect. And Greg Wilkinson, who obviously I think he played about 2 games last season at the start, he was brilliant. He was man of the match. So there you go.
Well, that's good to know, Ben. Thanks for bringing that up. This show, I'm sure people are just sat there listening to it thinking, you know what, this is a plethora of absolute quality information and... you know, I must get myself down to watch every other team apart from FC United, it would seem.
No, there are ex-FC players. I'm just letting everyone know, because obviously it doesn't get announced on Twitter that often where players depart to. Greg Wilkinson's at Stalybridge and he's very happy there.
Well, that's very good. And Tom Brown's playing in midfield still?
Midfield and was excellent. It's the best I've ever seen him play. He was superb. Anyway, that was that. That was the week that was. This weekend, it's Leamington on Saturday, and on Monday, it's away at Spennymoor. In a second, we'll have a little tourist guide for Helen, who'll probably be going to Spennymoor on Monday. I figured it worked so well last week, Swampy. We should just carry on, because, you know, it's a nice place, Durham, and there's lots of things to do.
So Durham?
Yeah, it's Spennymoor, isn't it? It's County Durham.
It's in County Durham, yeah, but yeah. Durham's not round the corner. Well, okay. You see, you've not prepped me for this at all, have you?
No, I've done this bit. You don't have to worry. You just have to sit there and go, I don't agree with Oriental museums.
But hold on a second. Hold on a second.
Yep.
This is my show. And you're now putting your own segment into my show. I mean, come on. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous.
All right, then. All right, Swampy. Well, over to you. I'm just helping you. Over to you. Fine. You don't need content. All right. Go on, Ben.
If you told me in advance we were doing
Travel
guide once again, I would have prepared.
I'm sorry.
I'm prepared, but no.
Listener. Right. This is what I have to put up with as producer of this show. I text Swampy and said hello.
That's a loose term.
I forgot. Sorry. Give me 2 minutes. There we go.
Ben, that's a loose term, producer, isn't it? All you do is maybe a little bit of touching up and that's about it.
I beg your pardon. Anyway.
I mean, go on then. Crack on with things to do.
I was going to say.
In Leamington.
On the Shindig Breakfast Show this week, we've got interviews with Tom Greaves, previewing this weekend's matches and the fitness of the squad and that kind of thing. We've also got Woodzo coming on just to be Woodzo.
Why did you do that? Woodzo coming on.
And we've got Paul Oakey coming on from the Leamington Courier, sports editor from the Leamington Courier, and a friend of the show.
Did you say Phil Oakey?
Paul Oakey.
As in Electric Dreams and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
And we've got Matt Carruthers coming on from the North East Football Podcast to talk about Spennymoor.
Oh, I was in a conversation. Well, I want to say in conversation. I was reading a conversation between him and Andy Hudson only an hour and a half ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Speaking of the North East, let's talk about, before we get to the tourist guide for Spennymoor, let's talk about Martin Gray and York City. I mean, that's a bit weird, isn't it?
No, not really.
I mean the fact that they sacked him not before the start of the season. That's what I mean.
Well, the whole situation is a bit of a basket case at the moment. It's at York, isn't it? When he arrived, a lot of the supporters were against him. Some supporters wanted to give him time. And, you know, they just missed out on the playoffs. And I suppose the chairman of the football club decided, well, you know, you've nearly got us there. You weren't there all season. You nearly got us there. You can do it this season. But again, you know, an indifferent start. I think the straw that brought the camels back certainly was the game against Curzon, because they themselves as a football club will be expected to taunt Curzon. We know Curzon are a very different proposition and are a good footballing team, and nobody has the divine right to beat anybody else. But I suppose they looked at that result and they were getting beat for 70 minutes and up steps Parking and gets the equaliser and it finishes 1-1. And I think that was the game that they thought, right, we need to make a change and change quick. I mean, I'm led to believe that Gray's going to be moving on anyway to another club. I think that's, it seems, from what I can gather, he'll be back in football very, very quickly. And who steps into his shoes at York?
Sam Collins.
Well, the thing is, it's a hiding to nothing, isn't it? You know, regardless, because the expectation is so high. How many of those players now that have been signed on full time contracts that were ex players? How many of them want to be there still? How many want to move on? How many players can Collins ship out that people want to buy? Because everyone that they've got there is going to have to go for a small fee, you would expect, because they're under contract. So again, from a manager, I mean, the only benefit, I suppose, is it's so early in the season. It gives Collins an opportunity to really turn the team into what he wants, if he can get rid of certain players and he can bring in some of his own players. But it's no surprise, really. I mean, the big surprise, I suppose, was the Southport result. You know, I spoke to you, didn't I, before last week's show. I think then it went quite viral, probably thanks to this show, really. Liam Watson, that very, very, very candid interview, nearly as candid as "Rip up your contracts," which was the headline from Mr. Johnson and Bernard after last week. Four years ago
when they had a stadium to play in.
And I think the trick, they won 4-1. Goals were scored. The team played a lot better. Whether or not it's just that was just to stick two fingers up to the manager, say, "Look, we are good enough, and let's prove it to you." Time will tell. But I mean, I suppose I certainly thought that perhaps Mr. Watson would be a couple of weeks away from either leaving the football club or getting the boot. He's got the result. He might. You never know. He might be that kind of manager that wants to stick at it and try and get them to a position where they believe they should be, but at the same time, he might walk away depending on what results go this weekend. Obviously, we've got two games coming thick and fast, so I think his future and Southport's future would be determined this weekend, opposed to that one game he got a massive response out of the club, or out of the players, I should say.
And it's a cracking interview. Do track it down. It's on the YouTube channel, and it's pretty brutal, but I quite like it. I think it's quite good. What the interview he did.
Well, I think sometimes people have said, you know, Tom Greaves could have done the same thing. He could have absolutely, you know, pillared the players and really gone for them. And I think Tom did to a degree without being as not venomous but as candid. The one difference is that, you know, with the likes of Southport, the likes of York, there's a lot of expectation on them, those football clubs, and also there's a lot of money being invested, and players are on, you know, high wages. They're training full time, so in essence, they're full time professionals. So I suppose when you're a full time professional, you expect to get the wrath of a manager if you deserve it. Semi-professional footballers, however, if they're training only twice a week, you can understand mistakes that are made. You can understand if they don't play particularly well, because, you know, sometimes things outside of football, like their work, their schedule, family life, can really affect the way you play on a Saturday or a Tuesday. And I suppose when it comes to the professional game, i.e. those players that are now are training full-time every day, sometimes it's not as much of an excuse. So I suppose that's why, from a semi-professional perspective, you can be a little less, not as harsh on the players as you would do if you were a full-time player. So, brutal, candid, and very truthful, I think.
Well, they're playing Ashton on Saturday, so you expect Southport to win that game, to be fair.
Well, you would after Ashton, obviously, after beating FC United, haven't won a game since. That'll be a really interesting game. Two teams that have had ups and downs already this season, and whether or not that could be a very interesting game, as I say, pivotal for both, perhaps.
So let's talk about FC United this weekend. Obviously,
we're
recording this on Friday lunchtime, so we haven't got a clue what the squad's looking like. But we do know that Harry Winter was in training this week, so he might be back. It's a blank sheet, really, isn't it? It could go either way, I suppose.
Yeah, of course it could have been. Leamington themselves, you know, a team that had last season, you know, did very, very well last season. And, you know, you've got to wonder whether they can continue from the way they started last season or the way they played last season to this season. But at the same token, they're playing against a team that's very up and down in FC United and Manchester. It could be and should be a very, very entertaining game. However, you never know, do you? Never know in this world how things are. I'm just stalling for time here, by the way. That's all I'm doing.
What are you stalling for time for? What's going on?
No, it's all right. It's okay. I'm just I'm fine now. I mean, and where have you got them in the division? Because I've got my non-league seventh. Because I've got my non-league paper out, and it's 2 weeks old. I've got the wrong one. I've got the blooming wrong one. Having a bet.
It's going to get worse after Brexit. Because I believe the non-league paper will be subject to custom checks and that kind of thing. And they'll be more stringent on the player ratings.
Can you imagine it, can't you? Excuse me, sir. Could you step aside? Do you have anything to declare? No, nothing at all. Could you come into this cubicle, sir? Yes, sir. What does that seem to be in your back pocket? Nothing wrapped up like a programme. Oh, it's the non-league paper. I'm afraid, sir, you do realise. You've read the list of banned items. I'd like to be out. I have indeed. Is it on that? Yes, it is. Yes. Oh, right. Okay. Sorry. Could you bend over, please, sir? We'll have to have a further internal examination, because we believe you might have the non-league monthly or quarterly or is it
Quarterly? You're rambling now. You're rambling. Come back at some point.
The quarterly
magazine. The non-league magazine that Phil Brennan...
The non-league magazine, yeah. So what, that would have been inserted up the anus. That's what I was saying. It was going to be a humorous thing. You can get rid of all that, because it didn't really work that. I didn't really think it through. And I'm sure Mr. Brennan wouldn't want me to have one of his magazines up my bum.
It's gloss there. Anyway.
Well, you started it by saying that basically the non-league paper will be... banned through Brexit, so I try to find out something.
It was more a political comment. I didn't expect it to go down that avenue, or up that avenue, rather. Last season, we got spending more on Monday. Last season, quite an epic evening, that. We spent together over Christmas at spending more. For all, if memory serves.
It was indeed. I'd spent a few days in the northeast of England, in the camper van, and then drove down to spending more. You drove up, and... my son decided that the game was it was too far too cold, so had a sleep in the back of the van, and we enjoyed an enthralling 4-4 encounter. They've just signed, is it Tutton? I think it's pronounced, or T-U-T-O-N, from Chester. This is a show where preparation should have counted, really, because it's been, I believe, quite... up and down. It's not been its usual quality, say of itself.
That's some benchmark we're setting there.
It is. Well, I mean, the question I want to ask Ben, yes, Spennymoor, it'll be a good day there. As I say, they're a team that always play good football. They've got a centre forward who's had league experience, has joined them. They score goals for fun anyway as a club, but they're not winning games at the moment. They're having a bit of a poor run. FC haven't played for what seems an eternity. So an opportunity to hopefully, after the Leamington game, enjoy a good result as well. So, you know, it'll be decent. But I said it's very early in the season at this moment in time. FC just need to hopefully take advantage of this period they've had of not playing in 8 days and, you know, really try and get some players back to full fitness and put on a good show.
Now, speaking of good shows, the town of Spennymoor will be rolling out the carpet for FC United fans this weekend. It's Bank Holiday Monday, and there's lots of things to do in the Spennymoor, County Durham region of this great country of ours. And, all things, the number one venue, according to TripAdvisor, everyone, things to do in Spennymoor, with 34 reviews, giving it 4.5 stars, Jubilee Park. Apparently, he's got a swing and everything.
It's very nice. And to be honest, Ben, if you carry on talking like this, I reckon you might be swinging from that very same park.
The number two of 8 things to do in Spennymoor. There's only 8, according to TripAdvisor.
8!
With 47 reviews, giving it an average of 4 stars, Spennymoor Leisure Centre. And I know what you're all thinking, right? It's not like the British Empire. They've got a slide. So it's a proper water place. It's not like Slide and Splash in Portugal. It's not quite Centre Park. But it's not Clarendon Baths. It's up from that. Next thing, with 10 reviews, this is number 4. Number 3's gone missing. I don't know where number 3's gone. Oh, number 3, and you'll like this one, Pick, because I know you're into this kind of thing. It's the Durham Mining Museum, where you can learn about mining and stuff in Durham. So, nothing to add.
What do you mean when you can learn about mining? There's no mining in Durham anymore because of bloody Thatcher. But saying that, I mean, perhaps Thatcher was a forward-thinking environmentalist.
Thatcher doesn't get mentioned enough on this show. Anyway, number 4 of 8 things to do in Spennymoor, with 10 reviews giving it a solid average of 5 stars, the Spennymoor Town Hall Art Gallery. And I do believe, dear listener at home as well, that they do cups of tea there. So you can see pictures and drink. Obviously, as well, because you're in County Durham, why not go up to the former constituency of Tony Blair, former Prime Minister, of Sedgefield, and have a drink in the local Labour Club?
I thought we weren't talking about Thatcher.
I just threw that in. It's not even on the list. It's funny,
though. It's brilliant, then. It's excellent, yeah. It is very good. You're doing well here. I enjoyed that, yes. Let's go to see that sorry right. Labour.
He won't be in. After that, the last thing to do, this is 4 miles away in Durham, but it's well worth seeing, the Oriental Museum. It's the history of bits of artefacts from ancient China and that kind of thing. Superb. It's like the Egyptian Museum in Bolton, but it's the China Museum in Durham.
What? Whoa. The Egyptian Museum in Bolton?
Yeah, the picture of it, it's like, it reminds me of when I went to the Egyptian Museum in Bolton. It's got lots.
No, that's
like,
what I mean. There's an Egyptian museum. Well, why is there an Egyptian museum in Bolton? You mean there's a Bolton museum in Cairo?
full of pies.
Full of pies and flat caps and whippets and chimneys with Fred Dibner's half knocked down.
But anyway, yeah, it looks all golden and stuff, is my point. It's like it's at the town hall. I saw Tutankhamun's coffin thing there once when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I don't think it's there anymore, is it?
Yeah, of course it was.
Yeah.
is that going up to Tutankhamun's? Where's Tutankhamun? Is that not local new Indian takeaway to Tutankhamun's? No, man. It's a museum. We've come to Cairo's, come to Bolton. We're Bolton, we're Barmy, we're off our Cairo heads. What on earth's going on? This is ridiculous.
Anyway, I should say the Oriental Museum actually does have an Egyptian collection. So there you go. It's not just Bolton that's got a monopoly yeah. on that kind of thing.
So what you're saying is basically, it's Egyptian cotton, isn't it? So, you know, it's like the local Bolton market, and it's like, oh, look, we've got an Egyptian. Anyway, you missed the main one out, Ben, though.
What have I missed out?
I mean, and you missed a genuinely good quality tourist attraction to go to that basically is the most famous in the whole of Durham.
The cathedral?
Or Carrick Durham. No. The Beamish Museum.
Go on.
You never heard of the Beamish Museum?
No.
It's not an alcoholic beverage place. It's a whole site dedicated to the 1920s. It goes through all the periods of history. And they're working road streets. You get on old trams, old steam tram trains, and everything. It's absolutely fine. It's huge. You go down the pit. It's got all mining stuff in there. The building at the moment, the building one part is going to be 1950s, and that's going to be ready in a few years' time. The Beamish Museum is an absolutely fantastic day. It's not cheap to get in, but you get a year pass, so you can go back as many times as you want, and it is absolutely wonderful. It really is, and that is out of all the things to do if you're up there for a weekend, is go there on the day before, the day after your CFC, and spend it in the Beamish Museum, the Beamish Centre. It's absolutely wonderful, and it's just off the A1, so not too far from Spennymoor.
And speaking of wonderful, that is the end of the show, and it's now time.
Whoa!
We've done half an hour. Go on.
Yeah, but correspondence from last week, I implored the listener. This gives us an idea if anyone did come back.
Yes, absolutely, yes. So Jeremy from Duckerfield's been in touch. what was the question you asked? What was the question you asked?
I wanted a song review.
Oh,
song
yes. I love the harmonies. That's from John in Duckerfield. Anyway, right, is that the end of the show?
Well, I suppose it's going to have to be, isn't it?
Oh, dear. Can we have a song request from you, please, Swamper, to end the show with?
We need to have There Comes a Time by Martin Stevenson and the Dainties.
Well, thank you, Swampy, for joining us. Take care. Farewell. Bye-bye.
Bye. Ben, can I just say one thing before you go?
Yes.
I will definitely not be listening back to this show. And I implore anybody who starts off thinking this isn't bad, well, just to let you know if you
right at
the end, show,
just to let you know at the end, yeah, it was terrible.
It's absolute, it was garbage. There's just no point. It started okay, it got very average, and that's about the end. The better.
There comes a time when nerves they have enough. There comes a time when this life should be mine. I scratch and tear with every part of me. I shall resign. There comes a time place both these hands to her loneliness.
This is FCUM Radio, the official radio station for the preservation of the bomb cake.